Morning and greet you in Jesus' name. Glad to be here and worship together and look into His Word together. And you know, these Sunday school lessons, I struggle a little to understand them and know exactly what they all mean and all the details of them and how it's all going to play out. But I thought about it, especially this morning in the Sunday school lesson, you know. One thing is certain, and what we saw in the lesson this morning is that there's two forces, right? It's good and evil every time. And the challenge is that every one of us, that what life is all about, what we're here for, is we have to identify with one side or the other. That's what we're here for. And we, you know, it's easy for us to, you know, when we identify ourselves with one side or the other, we choose the things that we're going to face, and in a way, to a certain extent anyway, we get to choose whose side we're on. And in time, it's today, you know, it's the temptation is for us to sort of you know, there's times we'd like to be in both sides, and we'd like to just kind of disguise our identity, maybe. The challenge is that we identify, we're not like Peter was. I appreciated that devotional too, where he went to hide in the crowd, even at just. But then in Acts, he was willing to stand up. He didn't care any. At that point, he didn't care anymore what the Sanhedrin thought, and he was willing to identify with Jesus Christ, come what may. And that was a challenge to me. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I'd like to read five verses, the last five verses of the chapter. And take our thoughts this morning from these verses. I've been challenged as I studied this. Story that we know well, and we read it often, and there's often comments made about these verses. Verse 38, now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And I've titled the message this morning, One Thing is Needful. That's a phrase from the last verse. One thing is needful. Jesus said that Mary had chosen the most important thing, and he was leaving that as a challenge to Martha. It was Martha that invited Jesus, and I suppose probably his disciples were with him. She invited Jesus into their house. And it was Martha that was cumbered and concerned and saw to it that there was food to put on the table. And she was concerned about the details of serving Jesus and his disciples and making sure their stay was comfortable. But it was Mary that spent the afternoon or evening, whatever it was, sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his word. And incidentally, every time you read about Mary in the Bible, she's at Jesus' feet. There's about two or three times that we have the account of Mary, or accounts of Mary in the Gospels, and I believe the other two possibly in John. But Mary was at Jesus' feet, and she was right in front of him, listening to what he had to say. In this passage, Jesus really didn't condemn Martha for the things she was doing, for the service that she was giving to him. She didn't condemn Martha, or Jesus didn't condemn Martha's service, but he did commend, he had a special commendation for Mary for choosing to put a priority on sitting at his feet and hearing his word. And Jesus told Martha, there's one thing that's needful. There's one thing that's necessary. And above all others, there's one thing that you don't want to miss and that you don't want to neglect. In other words, Jesus was telling Martha, with all you have to do, just make sure that you take the time to sit at my feet and hear my word. You put a priority on that. And one thing, Martha, is needful. And Mary got it right. Mary's choosing that one thing. And I believe what Jesus was simply saying is that, Martha, you just want to make sure that you're spending time and this sitting at Jesus' feet. Throughout the Bible, when a person sat at someone's feet, they were there to hear and to learn from them. I believe it was somewhere, I can't think where, it talks about Apostle Paul or Saul, that he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, and he learned from Gamaliel. He heard him speak, and he heard what Gamaliel had to say, and he learned from that. And Mary was doing the same with Jesus here. She was sitting at Jesus' feet, and she was learning the truths that Jesus was teaching, the stories that he told, Mary was hearing. And there was a lot of truth and a lot of principles, values of life that Jesus wanted to convey to his listeners, and Mary wasn't missing them. She was there, she was hearing them, and there wasn't anything that was going to stand in the way of her hearing what Jesus had to say. This morning, probably all of you would agree with me that consistently spending time at Jesus' feet ought to be a priority in our life. It's the one thing that we really need. Above all others, the thing that we can't do without. And yet, you know, it's the easiest thing to neglect. It's the easiest thing we can, you know, for a time, I can go through a day and days without reading the Word of God, without praying. And for a certain amount of time, I can do that, and you'll never know it. There's coming a time when probably you will, and you can tell, but we can neglect that and somehow hide. And we can be busy with all kinds of other things and good and things that are legit and right. Martha was. She was intent on preparing a meal for Jesus and his disciples, and I think she wanted it right, and she wanted to be the kind of meal that would meet Jesus' needs and the needs of his disciples. And it was I think it was a good thing. But through it all, she was neglecting something that was more important yet. And I would guess that probably, like me, when you're busy, when your life gets busy and hectic, and there's a full schedule, there are so many things that you could be doing, why this sitting at Jesus' feet is one thing that it's pretty easy for you to neglect. And that's what I'd like to talk about this morning. First of all, I'd like to show you why sitting at Jesus' feet is the one thing that is really needful. I'd like to talk about that a little bit. Why listening to Jesus? Why reading the Word of God? Why prayer is so important and why we need it so bad? And then secondly, I'd like to just make us aware and talk about some of the common hindrances that we have to overcome, and the hindrances to this sitting at Jesus' feet, the things that distract us. So why is sitting at Jesus' feet the one needful thing? Why is it that, what makes it so important? And I believe that we talked about it already. By sitting at Jesus' feet, we mean and we understand that Jesus isn't here in bodily presence. We'd love that. We'd enjoy that. It would be interesting to sit at Jesus' feet and hear him teach and hear him speak. But this morning, spending time alone with God and in his word and praying and in prayer will have the same effect as if we could enjoy Jesus' bodily presence and sit at his feet like Mary did. And I'd like to leave you with about four reasons why you should follow Mary's example and why it's so important to sit at Jesus' feet and to study his word, read his word and study it and understand it and communicate with God in prayer. That's sitting at Jesus' feet in 2023, really. Number one, God's word provides us with all the wisdom that we need for all of life's decisions. There's a lot of complex issues that we face in life, a lot of circumstances that we don't really understand, and that we wish we could see the future. We wish that the decision that I'm about to make here, we wish we could see what the consequences of all that would be in about 3 years from now, or 5 or 10 or whatever. We wish we could see out there. I want to tell you that God's word provides us with all the wisdom that we need for life's decisions. There's principles and there's teachings in God's word that we can take, and we can apply that to our situation. And God give us wisdom as we read his word and that we can see those principles and understand how they apply to our lives today. It takes wisdom and it takes concentration and it takes discipline to do that, to read God's word and open ourselves up to the teachings that are there, and I believe it takes the Holy Spirit working in our hearts to know how to take those principles and apply them to our everyday lives and the things that we face. I'd like you to just turn with me to a couple of scriptures that help us to understand how important God's word is to us and what God wants it to do for us today. First of all, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. I'm going to jump around to a couple of scriptures here. I think I'll take the time to turn to a couple of these anyways. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And from this verse, he's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. How do you learn, if you want to learn more about who God is and what he can do for you and his power and his what he knows and how he works. How do you learn more about God? It's through his word, right? You go to his word and you read it and you understand from history and from past experiences, those that God worked with in the past, you understand what God thinks of sin. You understand how God works in our hearts, and you understand how much God loves you. We get that through His Word, and He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We understand what's important to God, and we understand what something about God's holiness and how He wants us to live today. Turn to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15 to 17. Some more really familiar verses here. 2 Peter 3 and verse 15. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." And this tells us a little bit what God's word can do for us. It says in verse 15 that the scriptures make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It's through the Word of God, and because of the Word of God, and because you heard the Word of God, that you understood initially that you were a sinner and that you were lost, and that without Jesus Christ in your life, you're destined to eternal damnation. It's because of the Bible that and the authority of the Scriptures that we understand that, and that we realize that that's true. It says that in verse 16, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine. It's where we understand what true doctrine is, and what's right, and or what's true and what's false, and what's right and what's wrong, what's moral and what's immoral. We read that in the Bible, and we understand that from the inspired Word of God. It's profitable for reproof and for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And how often is it that as you read the Word of God, you understood that maybe something you said, maybe something you did wasn't according to God's will, and you were convicted, and you made that right. It's profitable for reproof and for correction, and also an instruction in righteousness. It helps us to understand how God wants us to live. Turn back to 1 Peter again, 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. Another thing that God's Word does for us. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." It's as we feed on the Word of God that we can grow in our Christian life, and that we can, God doesn't want us to stay baby Christians. He wants us to grow, and He wants us to mature. And it's through feeding on the milk of the Word that we can grow, and we can understand more fully what God's will and what His plan is for our lives today. I don't think I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 4, but there is where we have the story of of Jesus and His temptations in the wilderness, His temptation in the wilderness. It was the scriptures that He quoted. And three times Jesus said, "It is written," and He quoted scripture. As Satan brought a temptation to Him, Jesus quoted scripture and help Jesus to find victory or to be victorious over that temptation. And you know, it's the scriptures that as we face temptations, as we're tempted, it's the scriptures that we have in our hearts that'll help us to victory too. And don't think that somehow you can neglect sitting at Jesus' feet and feeding on the Word of God, don't think that somehow you'll be able to neglect that and continue to live in victory. It won't happen. As we neglect reading the Scriptures, as we neglect our prayer life, we open ourselves up to temptation and we become weak spiritually. God's Word reveals His will to us, tells us how to please God. God's Word is where we find hope. It's in His Word that we find what God's perspective is on life and what we need to make our perspective as well. God's Word puts life's difficult circumstances in perspective. You know, as we face life, and when we're in the middle of something difficult, it's so easy to get, we're that close to it and we see it that up close and we see no way out of it. But as we read God's Word and we back up and we look at it from God's point of view, all of a sudden these things take on a different perspective. And God gives us hope. God's Word helps us to understand that there's life beyond this life. And death is not the end. And there's hope beyond the grave. And we have something much better to look forward to than what we're going through today. And we have it, in a lot of ways, we have it good. But we still live with the curse that came because of sin. And there's a lot of things that if we could change, we would. And there's disappointments. And there's things that are difficult. God's Word helps us to understand that it's not always going to be this way. It's for the child of God, it's going to be better, and there's something much better to look forward to. Number two, God's Word and prayer puts us in communication with God Himself. And I was thinking about this in relation, if you turn back to, well, you don't need to turn there, but in Luke 24, it was after the death of Jesus and after He rose again, and Jesus was on that Emmaus road, and He got to talking to those two disciples. And they were walking along, and He was discussing the Scriptures and the prophecies that are there regarding Jesus. And then, you know, the story how they got to their house Jesus broke bread and blessed it and then vanished. And it was afterwards that these two disciples, in verse 32, one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scriptures? Did not our hearts burn within us?" That was because they were in communion with God Himself and with Jesus Christ. And God desires communion with mankind. And one of the ways that happens, it's as we read God's Word and as we let it speak to us, and as we communicate with God in prayer, and as we open ourselves up, and as we allow God's Word to speak to us, and as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, I think there can be that burning within us, and we can understand something about God that we won't understand in any other way except opening ourselves up and exposing ourselves to the Word of God. Number three, and this, I may be touched on this before, but God's Word puts all the pressures we face in perspective. You know, one of the reasons Martha was so stressed out was because all that she thought she had to do, and the pressure was on her to do it right. She didn't want to let Jesus down, and that was commendable of Martha. And I believe Jesus actually appreciated her efforts. But had she taken a few minutes to sit at Jesus' feet, like Mary did, she would have seen all these other responsibilities and pressures from a little different perspective. And you know, I think the same goes for us today. You know, it's tempting to think sometimes that we're so busy that maybe I'm just gonna have to cut the reading of God's word out. And maybe I don't have time to pray. God forbid. But you know, sometimes we get that busy and so focused on the things that we have got to get done today that we neglect the wrong things. We neglect some things that we really can't afford to neglect. The fact is, when the pressures are on, and when we feel like we can't afford to take the time to read God's word, that's when we read it. That's when we need to read it more than ever. That's when we need God's word more than ever. And it helps to put these things in the proper perspective. And as the pressure's on, and we open ourselves up, and it doesn't need to be 2 hours, it can be 10 minutes of reading God's word, all of a sudden the perspective changes. The circumstances may not change a lick. They may stay exactly the same, but we can see it from a different perspective, and we understand what's important here, and what God's plan is for us in this situation. And number four, from the last verse of Luke chapter 10, Jesus said, "Mary has chosen the good part, sitting at Jesus' feet." Jesus called that the good part. And he said, it's not going to be taken away from her. Nobody's going to take that away from her. Number four, God's word is the good part that can't be taken from us. You know, there's a lot of things in life that can be taken from you and I. There's a lot of things that can be taken from us. We might lose our job. We can be scammed and a lot of money taken from us. We can lose our health. Our health can be taken away. Our freedoms can be taken away. And we can even lose our friends. But there's one thing that can't be taken from us, and that's that relationship that we have with God that comes as we sit at Jesus' feet and as we learn to know him personally and learn to know him in a personal and intimate way. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. This talks a little bit about that, the last two verses of Romans chapter 8. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul said that there's all kinds of powers that are out there in this world, but none of those things can separate us from the love of God. And none of those things can mar our relationship with God. The relationship that we have with God that's built through sitting at Jesus' feet can never be destroyed or taken away from us. And that's something really, really precious to every child of God. In a world where there's so many things that are unsure and insecure, and especially as we see the world that we live in today, the whole political and economic and religious and all those things are very unsure. But I'm glad that nothing can take this love of Jesus. Nothing can separate the child of God from the love of Christ. And that comes as we as we are willing to sit at his feet and have a relationship with him. Now, for a little bit, what are the hindrances to sitting at Jesus' feet? Number one, we're too busy with all of life's urgent demands. There in Luke 10 and verse 40, this wasn't Jesus speaking, but it says that Martha, and this, I take that this might have been Luke wrote this. I take that was his observation. And of course it was inspired. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. And this word cumbered means to be preoccupied or distracted. She was so preoccupied with serving Jesus that she wasn't out there wanting to take it in. And she wasn't seeing what she really needed. She saw what Jesus' needs were. Jesus lived here and he needed to be fed and he needed a place to rest or whatever. And she was distracted and preoccupied with all the things that she wanted to make sure were right in this situation. Jesus, in verse 41 of Luke chapter 10, he said, "Martha, you're careful, you're worried and troubled about many things." That was Martha, and that's so many times that's us today. We're careful and troubled about many things. There's a lot of pressures, a lot of things that we face in life, a lot of responsibilities, and it's not right for us to neglect them or to ignore them, but there's some things that we need to focus on first and have a priority, that need to take priority in our life. And you know, we live in a time of such advanced technology and all kinds of labor-saving and time-saving gadgets and things and technology. And I question how much they really saved us. There's a lot of, I don't know. When I look at my grandparents, I think it looks like they had a fairly simple life. I'm sure they had pressures. But it seems like with all this technology that's supposed to take some of these pressures away, there are 16 others that just jump in and take their place and press on us. We have all kinds of urgent demands and busyness that we face in life. Let's remember that there are some things that maybe they are important, and we don't want to neglect them or ignore them. But there's one thing that's more important than all of these, and that's sitting at Jesus' feet. And Mary picked that. And Jesus' challenge to us this morning is that we need to pick that too. We need to choose that too, to sit at Jesus' feet. And it makes such a difference in what we do and how we face the pressures that life brings our way. I recently read an account of a time management coach that was giving a presentation to a class, an in-class presentation. And up on the table, he took a 1 gallon glass jar with a wide mouth on it. And he took 8 or 10 fist-sized rocks and he put them in that glass jar in front of all the class till he had that thing full that no more rocks could fit in. And he asked the class, "Is the jar full?" "Yep, it's full. No more rocks fit in." He reached under the table and he pulled out a bucket of gravel. And he poured that gravel into the glass jar and shook it a little and had it about full again. He asked the class, is the glass full? Is the jar full? And by that time, the class was on to him, and the answer was, probably not. And sure enough, he pulled out his bucket of sand, and he poured sand in and shook it and shook it some more, and the sand filtered down through the big rocks and the gravel, and it looked full again. And then he pulled out his pitcher of water, and he poured it till the water ran over the top. The interesting thing about it, he turned to his class, and he said, "Now, what lesson do you suppose I'm trying to teach with this lesson that I gave here in this story of the illustration?" And there was one eager participant, and this is what he answered. He said, "No matter how full, I think the lesson from this is that no matter how full our schedules, if we try really hard, we can fit a little more into it." This was the coach's reply. He said, "Nope, that is not the lesson I'm trying to teach. The lesson I'm trying to teach is, if you don't put the big rocks in first, you'll never get them in at all." And Jesus wanted Martha to understand, and he wants us to understand this morning, that sitting at his feet and listening to his word and praying, they're the big rocks. They're the things that are most important, and you have to start with them. If you pour a bunch of gravel in first, there's no way that you're going to get as many rocks in. You can make that jar half full of gravel and still put some of the rocks in, but you're not going to get as many in. As we start with the most important things and the things that we got to give priority to, that's when we can, that's time management. That's management of the things that are most important in our life. Let's put the big rocks in our jar first, and let's understand what the big rocks are. And one of them is most certainly, Jesus said, one thing is needful. One of the most important rocks, one of the big rocks, is sitting at my feet and hearing what I have to say. Number two, another challenge and thing that hinders our sitting at Jesus' feet is we get so distracted by the worries and the difficulties of life. There's a lot of things that, as I said before, there's a lot of things that you and I, if we could, we'd change. And in a perfect world, they'd be different. But we can't change them. And let's just remember that when we become discouraged, and when we are facing difficult things, what we really need to do is get to Jesus' feet and hear what he has to say. Read the Word of God, and I was thinking about it, especially in relation to the message that we heard last Sunday morning. Forget the title, God Can Take Care of You, or God Will Take Care of You, whatever it was. You know, we may face something really challenging, but let's just remember, and let's go to the Word of God and claim the promises that are there. There's promises for us. And no matter what the situation we're facing, God's going to see us through this, and God's going to make a way for us. And it helps us to get our focus off our problems and instead focus on God and put our faith in him. Number three, another hindrance to us sitting at Jesus' feet. You know, I said that this sitting at Jesus' feet is a relationship and having a relationship with God. And sometimes it's our relationships with others that get in the way. And I want to be careful how I say this, but You know, if there's others that are hindering our relationship with God, and there's others that are taking our focus off of God, we need to make a choice for God and for living for Him and sitting at Jesus' feet. And, you know, maybe we won't have time to spend with friends as much as we wish we could. But let's remember who our most important friend is and sit at His feet and spend time at His feet. And we may be misunderstood in that sometimes, but it's a challenge that I'd like to leave with you. It's a hindrance that is real to me, and I believe it's something that the devil sometimes uses to keep us from spending the time at Jesus' feet like we should. This morning, Mary chose, or the story that we read, Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet. And Jesus said that it is the needful thing. He also said that it's not going to be taken away from her. If it's going to happen in our lives this morning, if we're going to have the time to sit at Jesus' feet and hear Him and allow Him to make a difference in our lives, it's going to be a choice that you and I have to make. Nobody else can make it for you. It's a choice that you need to make. And Jesus said that Mary chose the good part, and He challenged us to do the same. Let's kneel for prayer.